Hello, you're listening to Rabbi Danny Eisenberg. Welcome to the podcast. This week's Parashat, Parashat Kedoshim, offers us a big challenge, trying to understand what exactly is Kedusha. And what I want to suggest is that we have a look at the various mitzvot that are contained in the Parasha, and try and see how these represent the overall theme of Kedusha. The reason why I say this is a big challenge is because trying to understand the actual connection between the various mitzvot is very difficult. The Torah seems to jump around in its selection of the various types of mitzvot that it wants to deal with. Sometimes they're interpersonal, sometimes they are chukim, they are laws whose they're divine decrees whose nature we have difficulty interpreting. And so trying to get to the bottom of the question that we're asking, what is Kedusha and how to make sense of this seemingly random collection of mitzvot it's difficult to get a straight answer. Although this, some suggest, might be in fact what the parish is intending by giving us a almost random appearing list. What it's trying to tell you is that Kedusha is about being an all-rounder. It's not about being one thing. You know, you could be very good at your interpersonal relationships. You could be very good at your interpersonal ethics. But when it comes to spiritual matters or mitzvot that you don't understand so well, then you're not so strong. And therefore, the Torah wants to give us apparently random list in order to show you, no, it's not enough to be one thing. To have Kedusha, you have to be able to be an all-rounder. You have to be successful in all areas, not just one. However, I believe with careful analysis of the parasha, we will see that an actual pattern emerges, and that we'll be able to learn an important principle about what Kedusha is about. What I'd like to suggest is that the entire Perek, of Perek Yutet, the first Perek of Parashat Kedoshim, can be divided into two halves. The first half deals with primarily with interpersonal mitzvot. And I would like to suggest that this idea is headed by the very first mitzvah that they mention after Kedoshim to you, the heading that you shall be holy, for I, Hashem, your God, am holy. The very first mitzvah that's listed there is Ishtimo Vavimtira'u, Vechaptotai Tishmoru, Ani Hashem Elokechem. Which means, a man shall fear or have reverence for his mother and father, and you shall keep my Shabbatot, I'm Hashem your God. Now what I believe the message of this particular mitzvah, or mitzvot, these mitzvot and their formulation is something to tell you that your goal in Kedusha is to balance two things. Interpersonal connections, bonding with other Jewish people, and at the same time, your connection with Hashem, and you should have to try and maintain both of those. Therefore, Yivov first talks about having respect for one's parents, and the second part is, but at the same time, you must observe my Shabbatot. This is what it means. This is what Kedusha is about. And I would suggest that this is the significance of the entire first half of the chapter of Perek Yutet. So later on, for example, in the parasha, it says, in that section, it says that when you should harvest your land, lo techale patzad chalitzor, you must not consume the end of your field. In other words, you must leave behind the pe'ah, the corner of your field, for the poor. And it also mentions other forms of gifts for the poor, the olelot, peret, various other leket, other forms of charitable grain that you must leave. And then the pasuk ends, Ani Hashem Elokechem, I am Hashem your God. In other words, what the mitzvah is telling you is that you have to limit yourself in order to look after the needs and show concern for others in the Jewish people who are not as financially well off as you. And Ani Hashem Elokechem, this is Hashem's concern. Your relationship with Hashem entails that you should look after the poor people. Following this, you have other mitzvot, interpersonal mitzvot. Lo tignovu, you shall not steal. Lo techachashu, you mustn't deny owing money. Lo techachu ish bamito, a person must not lie to his fellow. Lo techachu ish mila shaker, you mustn't swear falsely in God's name. Mechilat Hashem Elokecha, ani Hashem, thereby desecrating Hashem's name. Here, what the Torah is telling you is that if you cheat people, then not only is that does that have interpersonal ramifications, but also it causes a chilul Hashem. It affects Hashem's name and reputation. And so once again, the idea of this section of the parasha, of this chapter, deals with the fact that interpersonal relationships are not just about interpersonal. They're also part of the balancing act in creating relationship both with other people as well as with Hashem. Then the parasha continues, one must not oppress one's fellow, one mustn't steal, one mustn't withhold wages. And then it ends, the pasuk again, one ends, V'yareitem Elokech, Ani Hashem, you should fear your God, I am Hashem. In other words, Hashem wants you to know that He expects you to deal with those who are dependent upon you in a way which looks after their needs. People who are depending on you to pay their wages, people who are weak, you are not allowed to exploit them, and this is part of your relationship with Hashem, part of your Yirat Hashem, that you fear Hashem, that you follow His instructions in this regard. Now, the final part of this half of the Perek deals with a higher level of morality that Torah expects from you, that you mustn't favor the poor, you mustn't in judgment, you mustn't favor the wealthy in judgment, you mustn't go tale-bearing amongst other people, you mustn't be a gossiper, you mustn't hate people, even though it's very difficult to not hate somebody, but you mustn't hate somebody in your heart, you mustn't take revenge against people, although that's very difficult, and finally, v'avtal arecha kamocha, you must love your fellow like yourself, an extremely challenging demand that the Torah makes, ani Hashem, but this is all what Hashem expects from us. Once again, showing us that the interpersonal mitzvot are part of the demands of Hashem. Alright, so the thesis I've been presenting is that this entire section is essentially Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, and showing you that Hashem cares about your relationship with other people, and that's also part of your relationship with Hashem as well. The only problem with this analysis is I skipped one mitzvah that comes quite early on in the piece, and there, this mitzvah seems to not have anything to do with interpersonal. It says, V'chitiz v'hu zerah shlamim l'Hashem, if you bring a korban to Hashem, you must do it according to the way that Hashem wants. What that means is that the korban shlamim has to be eaten on the day that it's been brought, or on the next day, but anything left over for the third day must be burned. If, however, a person decides from the beginning that they're going to leave it over for the third day, so that becomes pigul, that becomes an unfit offering, and anybody who eats from that, well, they're in big trouble. And that person who eats from that their soul shall be cut off from the nation. So this mitzvah seems to have nothing to do with the interpersonal domain. It seems to be very clearly an issue between man and God. And in fact, the question, what is it doing here at all? After all, you would expect it to be amongst the laws of the sacrifices, and here it is in the middle of Parashat Kedoshim, which seems to have nothing to do with sacrifices in any other respect. So this mitzvah is a seeming mystery in this location. However, I would like to suggest the following, that in fact, why is this mitzvah here? Let's consider first the following question. Why does a Korban Shlamim have a two-day eating limit on it? That if you can't, you're not allowed to leave it over for a third day to eat. So one suggestion that's been made is that the idea of the Korban Shlamim is that you're supposed to eat it with other people. It's meant to be shared. It's meant to be communal, but at least something that is done together with other people, not all by oneself. So a person who says, no, from the very outset, I'm going to keep over the meat for 3 days, because at the end of the day, how much can one person eat over a two-day period? So that person, is what they're saying is, I want to have this korban just for myself. I'm not interested in sharing this with anybody else. And in effect, what they're doing is they're actually violating the very spirit of what this korban is supposed to be about. This korban is meant to bring people together. It is meant to create a covenantal community between Hashem on the one hand and the Jewish people. And therefore, it's meant that Hashem creates this time limit to ensure that you eat it in company. And so you bring other people together with you into this covenantal sacrifice with Hashem. When a person wants to eat it by themselves, and in order to facilitate that, they say, I'm going to eat it over a three-day period, they are actually creating a concept of selfish religiosity. I want to have a selfish relationship with Hashem. It's just between me and Hashem and no one else. And this negates really what the Torah is trying to do in this whole section here of Parashat Kedoshim. The Torah wants to create bonding between our fellow Jews and together with Hashem in the very same moment. There is no place for selfishness within the Jewish spiritual framework. You can't say, I want to have my own personal relationship with Hashem. It doesn't work that way. And it was for this reason that, for example, the Torah created in the Beit HaMikdash should be one central place for offering korbanot and did not allow people, once there was a centralized place of worship, to have their own personal private mizbeach, a private bama, in order to offer their own korbanot, because that goes very much against the concept of kedusha that the Torah wants to create. The Torah wants to create a relationship which bonds us together as a nation, together as a community with Hashem. This, I believe, is the first message of Kedusha that is addressed in the first half of the Perek. Now, when it comes to the second half of the Perek, I believe that the message is the second message of what Kedusha involves. And this is the idea of Chukim, the idea of divine decrees. And what the Torah's message is, for example, it starts in Pasuk Yud Tet, that you mustn't mix species with each other. And here the idea is, Hashem has created certain lines within the creation, certain species, and his intention is that these lines have to be kept separate in order for the world to function. Somebody who mingles with these lines and intermingles different species is undermining the very created order itself. Now, these boundaries have nothing to do with our interpersonal relationship, rather they focus on the idea of man as being created in the image of God, the Tzelem Elokim, and that he needs to maintain certain boundaries in order to maintain that Tzelem Elokim. So this section deals with, for example, creating sexual boundaries and limits which will undermine the Kedusha, the sanctity of the person. There are laws associated with not consuming the fruit of the land in the third year of a tree's growth. The law of Orlah, another chok, a decree by Hashem, but it's associated with the Kedusha, with the sanctity of the person and of the land. Later on, the Torah goes on to talk about how various practices of the pagan nations that surround the Jews must be stayed away from, must be avoided, because these will undermine the Kedusha of the human being. So, whereas the first half of the Perek deals with the importance of bonding with people, as well as with Hashem, the idea that to create a balance and a harmony in one's spiritual relationship, both with God and with man, the second half of the Perek deals with creating boundaries, separating from things which will undermine one's Kedusha. Now, I want to point out that right at the end of the Perek, the last few sukkim, from Pasuk Lamed Bet or so onwards, suddenly the parasha switches. And while it's been talking until now about Chukim, about things which mitzvot, decrees which Hashem has given us, which we don't properly understand, it suddenly switches to start talking about justice. Pasuk Lamed Gimel tells us that if you have a stranger, a convert amongst you, you must not afflict him, you must not offend him, and you have to love him like yourself. And I believe the message here, why does the Torah switch? In the same way that it talks about the concept of justice at the end of the first half of the Perek, it returns to the concept of justice and v'avtal reicha kamocha in the context of a convert at the end of the second half. Why does the Torah do that? I believe the reason is this, is that this second half that we said was dealing with creating separations from things which will undermine our Kedusha, separating ourselves from practices of pagan nations. Nevertheless, what the Torah wants to emphasize at the end is, however, if those members of those nations convert to become part of the Jewish people, so then you have to switch from a state of repulsion and distancing to one of actually embracing. That if somebody, once they've converted to Judaism, actually has to be embraced even more than any Jewishly born member of the community. And therefore, the Torah is creating an exception to this principle of boundaries, that you have to ensure that you might be tempted to say, well, look, they come from a foreign nation, they come with a foreign cultural background, and this creates a threat to the integrity of the Jewish spirituality. But the Torah actually says no. The minute that they convert, the minute they become part of the Jewish people, not only do you not have to keep them at arm's length, you dafka have to do the opposite. You have to bring them in, and therefore the Torah actually switches from an entire tone which involves separation. Don't do this. Stay far away from that. All of a sudden, when it comes to the convert, you have to bring them in. And so, what Parashat Kedoshim in fact highlights is that there's a lot of complexity involved in Kedusha. It's not simple at all. And it involves balancing, as we said, the first part of the perek deals with balancing between your interpersonal requirements, maintaining a closeness and respect and an appropriate relationship with other members of the Jewish people, even to a very high degree that you mustn't even feel negative feelings. You have to just come as close as possible to other Jews as you can. At the same time, this is what Hashem wants. And this is part of having a relationship with Hashem, is that you are bonding with people and with Hashem simultaneously. This is part of Kedusha. Don't embrace an ideology of that I want to have my own personal relationship with Hashem. I don't want to share it with other people. Rather, it has to be, the two things have to go hand in hand. You can't have this nomadic or reclusive relationship with Hashem just for you and Hashem alone. That's totally and total anathema to Judaism. At the same time, the second half of the parak tells us, but there are certain things you have to keep, you have to bound yourself off from. You have to create strong boundaries. First of all, you have to maintain the natural separations that Hashem has created in nature. You mustn't mix lines of species that Hashem has intended to be separate. You must maintain on a sexual level certain separation from relationships which the Torah deems to be forbidden. When it comes to the land of Israel, you also have to separate yourself from the fruit of the land when according to the laws of Orla and other things that Hashem has commanded, and you must stay away from the pagan nations. At the end of the day, however, the moment a person wants from the pagan nations wishes to embrace Judaism, wants to become part of the Jewish people, at that moment you have to do a switch, and just like in the first column you have to love them as yourself, so too with the convert you have to come and love them as well. So this is really the complexities of Kedusha. It's so complex that it's hard to really sum up in one sentence, which is why, in fact, the Torah needed an entire perek to explain to you the principles of Kedusha, to understand the balancing act that is involved in this area. The Torah's message is that Kedusha is not something that's to be pursued